the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
At night in a squad car.
What do you want? I've been buying my clothes from Sal since I'm like 2 years old.
Which makes him what, 80? You know me, I'm not one to get personal.
Here we go.
It's just, you're like the last guy in the borough who wears a string tie.
Cheryl said something Saturday, right?
You think all we talk about is you? It's all about image, Tyler, and yours needs an upgrade.
The female officer stares out the window.
What's their rush, you think?
Three people are running.
They probably got to get home to walk the dog.
Yeah, that must be it.
She starts the squad car, then drives into a fenced yard. The car's spotlight shines on a well-dressed man lying on the ground. She stops and Tyler gets out and checks the man's pulse.
Cop 23 Charlie got a man down on 127th just east of Lenox. Send paramedics.
Bus is on the way.
He runs his fingers across his throat in a slicing motion.
Make that the medical examiner, too.
Later at the scene...
That's right, three of them. Wool caps, flew up that way.
Did you pick them out of a lineup?
It was dark.
What about you?
Sorry, nobody else around here saw anything either.
He took one hell of a whack to the skull. Lead pipe, baseball bat, something.
Anything in his pockets?
Yeah, we're lucky he's still got pockets.
Let's leave the social commentary to Andy Rooney.
I'm just saying, it's an expensive suit. Prada.
Maybe he was on his way to church.
That's why you've got the badge.
An officer approaches.
Detective. So we found this wallet up the block. It was emptied except for this.
Lenny reads a business card.
Al Garber, manager of Manhattan Jaguar. That's in the 50s. He's a long way from home.
Who knows? Maybe they deliver.
The back of the victim's head is bloody. The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car, and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe is wearing his tie loosened around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is on the phone at his desk. Then Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is shown. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant D.A. Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant D.A. Serena Sutherland is also at a desk, and D.A. Arthur Branch has his arms folded across his chest. Law and order. The detectives and the assistant DAs walk down a hallway together. At the Jaguar car dealership.
Yeah, that's Hal.
We found him last night. I'm sorry.
On Lenox Avenue? My God.
I take it Harlem wasn't one of Mr. Garber's usual stops.
The Hal I know wouldn't go above 96th Street without an automatic weapon.
Thing is, you can get away with a lot more on Lenox than you can on Park Avenue and 56th.
Can you play golf? As far as I know, that was Hal's only vice. No drugs, no gambling, just golf.
I think it gets a little cold on the back nine this time of year.
When was the last time you saw him?
Yesterday, around 5. He was going out with a customer, a silver XJR.
And nobody noticed he didn't come in this morning?
He's the manager. That means he gets to take the cars home whenever he feels like it.
Does that mean the XJR didn't come back either?
Well, like I said, he's the manager.
Let me ask you this. Do you still make copies of customers' licenses before you let them get behind the wheel?
Sure. I'll get it for you.
Later, Lenny shows his badge when a man wearing a robe opens his door.
Please, shoot me.
Are you Roscoe Martinez?
For another couple of hours anyway.
He blows his nose, then starts to rush away.
Hey!
He stops.
Go, go, go.
He rushes away, and Lenny and Eddie step inside.
At least he won't put up a fight.
He's not faking it.
You take his temperature.
He comes out of the bathroom.
I'm sorry. My luck, I had to be under closing the day they gave flu shots at the office.
How long have you been sick, Mr. Martinez?
3 days. What's going on?
We have some questions about Hal Garber.
Who?
The salesman who took you for a test drive yesterday?
Right, just after I finished the marathon.
Hey, he's dead. And we think you may be the last person to see him alive.
Oh, I have no idea who he is or what you're talking about.
The car dealer who photocopied your license and took you out for a drive.
I see you're on top of it as much as my doctor. 6 months ago, someone picked my pocket. I'm still waiting for motor vehicles to send me a new license.
Later with Van Buren.
The 3-1 said Martinez reported his wallet stolen back in October. 200 in cash, credit cards, driver's license, the works.
And you're thinking whoever stole the car killed Garber and dumped the body?
Well, he was using a phony ID, which means he was up to something. Now, the canvas came up empty. We're guessing the kids found him dead, rolled him, and ran.
Any charges on Mr. Martinez's credit card?
Our perp doesn't believe in debt, even somebody else's. Yeah. Okay. All right, thanks.
Hey, listen, a brand new XJR with dealer plates was ticketed this morning at an expired meter in Murray Hill.
Check it for prints.
Already done. The ticketing officer called the dealership. They told him what happened to Garber. He called CSU. They came, towed the car to forensics.
Everybody's looking to get a gold shield.
Well, this cop may have earned one. Check this out. Blood found in the passenger seat is the same type as Garber's. Prints found in the car match those at the scene of a robbery, a Second Avenue bar called Bartholomew's.
So this guy likes expensive cars and expensive drinks.
Spivak from robbery is working on the case.
And he's doing a hell of a job.
At Bartholomew's.
One thing you gotta give him is balls. Saturday night, midnight, place is packed, right? This bozo walks right up to me, guns blazing.
He fired his weapon?
It's an expression. He had a gun out. Silver pistol. I wasn't about to argue with the dude.
Checking up on me, are you?
Somebody has to, Spivak.
Your boy just graduated to Murder One.
Good. You take him.
It's hard to believe this place only had 5 G's.
Oh, it's a platinum card crowd. They pay more for one martini than guys like me spend for the whole bottle. 2 in a register, 3 in a lockbox under the bar.
That's where we hid the large bills.
Place hadn't been open long enough to have former employees.
Well, the guy must have been here before.
Would have noticed. Spanish kid.
What, no habla español in here?
Birds of a feather. Our crowd's pretty white shoe.
I figured he had a spotter. Saw Marty here open the lockbox.
So where are the witness statements?
Where are the witnesses? The joint is packed. Nobody sees nothing. Except the guy calls 911.
That would be Darren Tarlow. He's one of our regulars.
Basu Advertising, 112 East 33rd Street.
I'm sitting at the bar with this babe. She is rocking this little sleeveless number. Snaps about 3 inches above her belly ring.
We're happy for you, Mr. Tarlow.
So, I've had maybe too many martinis, you know? I gotta hit the head. I finish up my business, I head back to my seat at the bar.
That was near the register.
Yeah, that's right. And I see this Spanish dude sticking a piece in Marty's gut. So, I called 911 on myself.
Was this dude alone?
Yeah, as far as I could tell.
Maybe your girlfriend saw something while you were indisposed.
No, I doubt it. By the time I got back to the bar, Rosalita was gone with the wind.
Rosalita? So she was Hispanic?
I'm telling you, man, this girl was hot. I had her half in the sack, too. Gun must have scared her off.
Does Rosalita have a last name?
I wish I knew it. I haven't seen her in there before or since. What the hell? It's not like I could have brought her home to Mom anyway, right?
Why, your mama don't like girls named Rosalita?
The girl's in the rag biz. I saw her New York College of Fashion ID when she took out some green to buy smokes.
Outside at a hot dog vendor.
The College of Fashion's all the way across town.
Odds are somebody spotted for the guy.
Hi, we're looking for a student named Rosalita with a hoop through her navel who, because she might be of Hispanic descent, we suspect might have ridden shotgun on an armed robbery.
Hey, like the man said, birds of a feather.
Darren looks through a book of photos.
Why would she lie to me?
Hey, I don't know what to tell you. There are no Rosalitas registered at New York College of Fashion.
Can't trust anybody.
Well, not at Bartholomew's, anyway.
He continues looking.
Oh, that's her.
Not bad.
You see what I'm saying?
Eddie looks at a photo of Tina Montoya. Max Mira, 450 West Broadway. They follow Tina upstairs.
Stitching is cheap. I wouldn't be caught dead in something like this.
Most people can't afford that.
Cost and quality have nothing to do with each other. People who know, people with taste, never look at a price tag. Can you believe I get course credit for this? Anyway, after I get my degree, everything changes. Now this is to die for.
It's tasteful.
The room to spare.
I had to work 2 jobs.
She'd be yours forever. Small price to pay. No, I would.
Excuse me, but right now we'd appreciate it if you could tell us about that night at Bartholomew's.
Oh, my girlfriend dragged me there and then ran off with some stockbroker. You know what they say, you can't buy taste.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Maria. So anyway, she takes off with Mr. Brioni and leaves me with one of the Brooks brothers, an accountant or ad man or something.
Darren Tarlow.
Could be. But thank God that man had a small bladder, otherwise he'd have killed me with his stock picks.
So what happened when the guy pulled the gun?
I was long gone. As soon as that goofball stood up to go to the bathroom, I was out of there.
She shrugs. Outside.
All I'm saying is no good can come from a woman who doesn't look at price tags.
How would you know?
Okay, no good can come from a woman whose second seat's a stick-up.
Tina, come on.
Oh, is that you talking, or...
Eddie answers his cell phone.
Green, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, thanks.
An art gallery was robbed a week ago. The prints match those from the bar and the Jaguar.
Cash?
Painting.
Oh, how tasteful.
I feel raped. Violated.
A picture? It could have been a lot worse.
It was a David Burke.
Well, I guess that's a horse of a different color.
Burke died last year. He won't be painting anymore, I'm afraid. It was right there. This thug knew exactly what he was doing. Dawn was one of our best pieces.
How much does something like that go for?
We listed it at 80. But the point is, there's only a handful of people on the planet that can appreciate its beauty. People come in here every day. They spend twice that for half the painting.
So how do you suppose this art expert got in here?
The front door, middle of the day. God, his pistol was in my face. I already told all this to the other detectives.
Yeah, we're working on a related case.
Serial rapist.
Something like that.
In Van Buren's office.
A wallet for $200, a bar for $5,000, an $80,000 painting, a $100,000 car.
Hey, he's trading up. It's the American way.
Yeah, what's next, a Learjet?
Only if it's tastefully decorated.
Would you just leave it alone?
Can I play too?
Some friend of Ed's who was at the bar the night of the robbery.
She ain't a friend of mine, and all I'm saying is a girl like that could do a whole lot better than a stick-up man.
Like what, an art thief? Hey, she disappeared right before the guy pulled his piece. She lied about her name to the citizen who called 911, and her seat at the bar had a bird's-eye view of the cash box filled with large bills.
Go see what's hanging up on her walls.
Apartment of Tina Montoya. 213 Amsterdam Avenue.
Sorry, it's such a mess.
I've been on operating tables that had more dirt than this.
I can't tolerate sloppy. Can I get you guys a water or something?
No, thanks. We're fine. This is nice.
Yeah, an old boyfriend. He dabbles.
I'd actually consider purchasing something like this.
You'd be wasting your money. Keep your wallet closed until I get my line of menswear on the market. There's a suit I'm working on that'll look dashing on you.
Hey, if your prices are anything like the place you work, he can frame it and hang it on the wall.
Your ex-boyfriend who painted this, what's his name? Manuel...
Lopez. He has a closet full of them if you're really interested.
Later in a store...
Just because I work here doesn't mean I can afford to shop here.
And that bothered Tina?
Only the best. It's all she ever talked about. You know, one time, I got a stick to the producers back when Nathan Lane was in it. And when she saw that the seats were in the balcony, she walked out.
I didn't know there was anything below the balcony.
Thank you.
So what's she doing with a regular guy like you?
Truth is, I had enough of her. Tina sucks the oxygen out of any room she enters. Unfortunately, I like to breathe. Anyway, she found her prince charming.
How you know?
Saw her a couple of months ago. She had a big red sorkin.
I heard they got a cure for that.
It's a bag by Gaston. Actually, the one on her arm must have gone for $20,000.
He glances toward a customer.
Do you mind?
Go ahead.
$20,000? You suppose Prince Charming actually purchased the pocketbook?
In another store, Lenny touches a purse.
It just looks like a regular bag.
There isn't a 16-month waiting list for a regular bag.
I don't get it.
They're made to order in Paris.
Imagine what they carry inside the bag.
You don't understand. It's not the money, it's the status.
You haven't had any thefts, have you?
This one was ordered by Mrs. Newworth 2 years ago. We keep it in our safe until she gets back from Monte Carlo. Although, when Mrs. Gutenberg's was lost en route 6 months ago, she threatened to bring criminal charges against the courier company.
Was Mrs. Gutenberg's bag red by any chance?
At PEP Courier's loading dock.
What did to do that cause, let me tell you.
Maybe we can talk to the guy that was supposed to deliver the bag to the store.
I wish you people would leave Robbie alone.
Robbie?
Yeah, Roberto Delgado. He's a good kid. He carried a box from the truck into the store. Is it his fault it had rocks in it?
Actually, it might be.
Well, your associates already put him through the ringer and they came up with nothing. What's French for insurance scam?
Well, if we could talk to Robbie.
Suit yourself. He quit right after the bag hit the fan. And to tell you the truth, I don't blame him.
Apartment of Roberto Delgado, 121 West 124th Street.
One I should stand guard or something?
It's all right.
Yeah, sure. Robbie shouldn't be back until after his shift at the restaurant. Tina with a guy who washes dishes.
There's no accounting for taste.
Lenny picks up a large painting.
Looks like Dawn to me.
He told me that was for his girlfriend. I didn't really believe him.
No? Why?
Well, he's not the smoothest silk in the drawer, if you know what I mean.
Hey, Lenny!
Eddie's looking in a drawer filled with wallets.
Oh, he's been busier than we thought.
How much you want to bet this starts that Jag XJR?
Where's that restaurant exactly?
Later in a diner.
What can I do you for?
Yeah, you got a Roberto Delgado working here?
The man steps toward the kitchen.
Yo, Robbie!
What'd he do? What makes you think he did something?
You're kidding, right?
A young man approaches.
Roberto Delgado, you're under arrest for the murder of Hal Garber, among other things.
Murder?
An interrogation.
We know you can talk, Robbie. We saw you making a phone call. Hey, if you don't understand, the whole point of this exercise is for us to say you did something bad and for you to either agree or disagree. You keeping your mouth shut spoils our fun.
Save your breath, Lenny. What we found in his apartment makes all the noise that we need.
Mr. Delgado has a visitor.
Tina enters.
What did you do? Huh? What did you do?
She hugs Robbie.
How dare you? He's entitled to a lawyer.
We already told him that 3 times.
Yeah, well, he wants one.
Well, it would have been nice if he said as much.
You know, while you're here, Tina, we can read you your rights.
Me? For what?
For starters, that $20,000 bag hanging from your arm. There's a law against receiving...
Come on. This is a knockoff. Isn't it?
She looks at Robbie.
Well, look, if it is real, I had no idea.
Then there's accomplice to armed robbery.
The bar? Oh, God. Well, he must have followed me there.
You know, I'll bet Ms. Montoya would like to talk to Robbie in private.
Lenny and Eddie join Van Buren in the observation room, and she turns a knob on the wall.
Are you okay?
You buying any of that?
Well, she does seem to have all her bases covered.
Trust
You're awfully accommodating today.
I've found people tend to open up when we're not aroused.
And if she doesn't?
We've got to let her go.
They watch Tina hug Robbie and hold him close.
You don't say a thing.
Later, Eddie's at his desk.
Yeah, man, 9 is fine. All right, bro, later.
He watches Tina approach as he hangs up.
Hey, can I help you?
I want to thank you for your help. May I?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
She sits down.
For being so professional. I've seen the way some cops are on TV. You treated Robbie like a person. Not like a piece of sewer scum.
He did kill somebody, Tina.
We'll see how it all works out. Whatever happens, I'm sure you'll do the right thing. Maybe I should thank you in advance, you know?
She touches his hand.
Drink. Dinner, maybe?
Oh, God, there's nothing more in this world that I'd like better than to have a drink with you, Tina, but I got a lot of paperwork here.
It can wait.
He looks at her, then removes her hand from his.
I don't think it can. See, what I'm trying to figure out here is how to throw your pretty little butt in jail, so...
He raises his eyebrows.
I mean, you can hang out if you want.
She stares at him, then stands. He watches her over his shoulder as she leaves.
Docket number 378261, People v. Roberto Delgado. Charges are murder in the first degree and 3 counts of robbery in the first degree.
Oh, I'm glad to see you've kept yourself busy, Mr. Delgado. What's your plea?
The attorney nudges Robbie.
I'll take that as a not guilty.
My client's an upstanding member of the community, Your Honor.
We wouldn't have asked him here if he weren't, Mr. Connors.
He's got no priors. He's gainfully employed. It would serve no purpose to incarcerate him prior to trial.
Mr. Delgado has no family in the community, and with 4 felony charges pending, he's certainly a flight risk. The people ask for $500,000 in bail.
My client's never seen that kind of money, Your Honor.
Neither have I. Bail is set at $250,000, cash or bond. Next.
Robbie's led away. Later in Jack's office...
The bartender at Bartholomew's picked him out of a lineup. The cops found the stolen artwork and the key to the stolen car in his apartment. And last but not least, Hal Garber's blood was on the car seat.
So what is there to talk about?
His lawyer called the meeting.
Who's that?
Dean Connors.
Oh.
What?
Better known as Dean, what are you offering Connors?
They enter a conference room.
Jack!
How have you been?
I'm getting by. Look, I'm not going to waste your time. There's no point in going to trial on this.
Make me an offer. I'll see what I can do.
What did you have in mind, Mr. Connors?
Well, looking at the time and expense involved in prosecuting a murder one case, will plead guilty to the robbery, sentences to run concurrently.
And when he's done his time, we'll throw a ticker tape parade down Fifth Avenue.
But, considering Mr. Delgado's condition, I think it's fair.
What condition?
Come on, you can't tell me you didn't notice.
He looks fine to me.
There are things that Robbie understands and there are things that he doesn't.
I'm sorry, the last time I checked, stupid is not a defense to murder.
Hey, you don't have to insult him, okay? Robbie's slow.
So the way I see it, you got two choices. You can have your shrink talk to him, or I can go ahead with a motion to dismiss the case entirely.
Rikers Island Correctional Facility. Dr. Elizabeth Olivet is in the visitor's room.
I realize you're scared, but I can't help you unless you speak to me. I'm not a cop, Robbie, or a lawyer. Anything you say in this room can't be used in court unless you want it to. Your lawyer asked me to come here. He wants to help you. I know you can talk. Your friend told me.
Jeannie?
Yes. She wants to help you most of all.
Well, I don't know. She said to keep my mouth shut.
That was before. Tina wants what's best for you. And right now that's to talk to me.
I don't like talking to doctors.
What doctors?
When I was a kid, my mom thought I could be fixed.
How?
What's the difference? They didn't fix me.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm in trouble.
Do you know why?
Because I took that stuff. But Tina told me not to.
So Tina knew you were stealing?
I don't... No. Tina would never do that.
Do what?
He grins.
Tina's an artist. A real class act.
Elizabeth smiles.
How long have you known her?
A long time. When I was in the second grade, we used to play dodgeball, you know? Every time someone tried to hit Tina, I'd block them.
That make you feel good?
I gave her my ID bracelet. It was silver.
Like the car you stole.
His smile disappears.
Did Tina like silver?
It's our favorite color. Classy.
Will you do something for me, Robbie?
I'm not stupid, you know.
Of course you're not.
I'm slow.
The man at the car dealership. Will you tell me about him?
Thought I was a bum. He didn't even want to let me drive a car.
What'd you do?
I said I'd call my lawyer. Then I showed him a credit card and he let me.
Why'd you hit him, Robbie?
He looks downward and frowns.
Robbie.
He folds his arms across his chest. He looks at her.
I'm not going to talk anymore.
Later in a restaurant with Jack.
Without proper testing, I can't be sure. If you put me on the spot, I'd say his IQ was somewhere in the low 80s.
Meaning?
100's normal. A person with an IQ of 80 can function in society, hold a job, interact socially, but in most cases is incapable of any abstract thought.
You know what I'm looking for, Liz.
Yes, he's capable of having criminal intent, but would he without help?
You're referring to Tina Montoya.
I doubt he knows the difference between a $100,000 sports car and a rent-a-wreck. To him, it's just a pretty silver car.
Let me guess. Tina has a thing for Jaguars.
I get the distinct feeling all she'd have to do is hint she wanted something, and Robbie would get it for her.
But he didn't tell you that?
No, but he didn't deny it either.
At the DA's offices.
You wouldn't be the first person with an 80 IQ to confess to a felony.
Or he'll have a room on death row.
What I don't get is why his attorney didn't have him tested before he invited our shrinks to sit down with him.
Two words, Dean Connors.
Is that supposed to ring a bell?
Dean's not a bad sort. He's just morally opposed to hard work. I don't think he's tried a case in 10 years.
You gotta love a fighter who won't throw a punch.
Tell him the lowest we'll accept is murder, too.
And what about Tina?
Someone showed up at your door with a $20,000 handbag. What would you think?
Does that someone happen to wash dishes for a living? I'll call Van Buren.
Carolyn Householder. She loved opera. One time I showed up at her door dressed up like a clown and sang Reedy Pagliacci at the top of my lungs. She laughed, and she slammed the door in my face.
I'm sure you were wonderful, Arthur.
My point is, guys do goofy things for girls whether they want them to or not.
You want me to ignore the fact that Tina Montoya may have conspired with Robbie Delgado?
Do you have any proof that she did?
Res ipsa loquitur. She accepted what she had to have known were stolen goods on at least one occasion. At a minimum, she manipulated them.
And if she did, I'd like to get her on more than dangling a stolen handbag from her wrist.
She was his accomplice in an armed robbery.
Only she left the scene before he ever arrived.
You know, you don't buy a Sorkin for its utility. It's a status symbol. People who buy them by nature like to show off.
Dollars to donuts, that Montoya girl will claim that Robbie told her that he bought that bag from some huckster on the street corner.
She already did. But I don't think she can say the same thing about a Jaguar. Personally, I can only think of one reason for a person to drive a $100,000 car in New York City.
Impressing the Joneses.
New York College of Fashion.
Tina's what you'd call hard to miss. Men melt all over her. I mean, I'll bet she shut down every single straight guy in school.
She doesn't date anyone?
Here? No way. She's too good for a mere student. Yeah, when daddy's loaded, the world is a beautiful place, right?
I didn't know.
Rumor has it he owns one of those turny restaurants on 9th Avenue in the 40s. 4 stars, very she.
So her clothes, her Sorkin.
Daddy.
And her car.
You know, it's funny you should mention that. I actually felt sorry for her. But this is between me and you.
Cross my heart.
Well, last week we had our winter show. Real models walking down the runway in students' designs. Anyone who's anyone in fashion is there. It's like our Super Bowl. All right, so we each get 2 tickets for parents, boyfriends, whatever. My parents showed up 2 hours early. How embarrassing is that?
And her father?
He sent her the car and driver, but daddy's a no-show. Tina won a blue ribbon, and there was nobody there for her to celebrate with. As far as I'm concerned, daddy can keep his money and his car and driver.
Did the car happen to be a silver Jaguar?
Yeah, you're good. Remember, you didn't hear any of this from me.
Later, Serena's outside with Van Buren.
A Jag and a driver? Man, I took the E-train to college. Once I hitched a ride in my uncle's cab, and my friends nearly had heart attacks.
Well, her friends are used to it. She's from money.
Well, let me guess. She has daddy problems.
It sounds more like daddy has Tina problems.
Yeah, can't blame him.
Anyway, we have a school full of witnesses that put her with Robbie in what she had to have known was a stolen car, considering he had to kill to get possession of the car.
So we get to do our thing?
As soon as possible.
Tina gives a bag to a customer.
Thanks. Did something happen to Robbie?
You can ask him yourself. We reserved a nice seat for you next to him at the defendant's table.
Tina Montoya, you're under arrest for conspiracy to commit murder.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney.
27th Precinct, Interrogation Room.
I got to admit, Ms. Montoya, talking without your attorney present makes me very uncomfortable.
I don't have an attorney.
You're entitled to be appointed one by the court.
I know. The detectives told me already. Look, I didn't do anything. So can we just get this over with?
She glances at Serena.
I know what you're thinking.
Why don't you tell us?
I really did think the bag was a knockoff.
Did you ask Robbie where he got it?
Okay, maybe I was stupid or ignorant or blind for taking it. But that doesn't make me a criminal, does it?
What about the car?
Robbie works, you know. He makes money and he never spends it. He told me he rented the car.
She keeps her eyes on Jack.
If I were you, Ms. Montoya, I'd hire an attorney.
Wait.
She touches his hand.
Is it so wrong to want nice things? I never asked him to steal from me, I swear. That night I went down to catch a cab, and Robbie was waiting for me. He was sitting on the hood of that stupid car with this stupid grin on his face.
A tear rolls down her cheek.
That he drove me to the school. I don't know what he did before, during, or after. I just took a ride from a friend. And I only know I didn't kill anyone.
But you knew Robbie did.
He's my friend.
Well, what was I supposed to do?
She lowers her eyes. Later in a restaurant.
Oh, please, those big brown eyes staring up at you and the hand thing, give me a break.
Give me some credit, Sarita.
And the tear? Robbie didn't stand a chance.
That's exactly what a jury might think.
You're going to cut a deal with her.
You got to pick and choose your battles. We'll offer her a year on the stolen bag if she'll testify that Robbie told her about the murder.
We don't need her testimony.
Connors could very well argue that Robbie dropped Garber off, and what happened to him after that was not his responsibility.
And the blood on the car seat?
How many times do you think Garber sat in that seat?
Garber was killed during the commission of a robbery. Any way you look at it, it's felony murder.
Not if there's an intervening criminal act.
You should move to the other side of the aisle, Jack. The pay's better.
Serena looks past him.
Speaking of which...
Connors approaches.
I thought that was you, Jack.
Join us.
No. No, I don't want to intrude. This will only take a minute.
Let me guess, your client's willing to go to assault one.
Actually, murder two. Three counts of robbery, sentences to run concurrently. My client's only requirement is that you don't charge Tina Montoya with anything.
He allocutes everything.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Serena watches them shake hands.
I always enjoyed doing business with you, Jack.
Connors leaves.
Well, how convenient was that?
Jack stares at her. Robbie is standing at the defense table in court.
Well, I picked a lot of pockets.
You'll have to be more specific, Mr. Delgado.
He looks at Connors.
Eduardo taught me how. It's easy.
Tell the judge about the bar, Roberto.
The bartender gave me their money.
After you pointed a gun at him?
Yes.
And what did you do with the money?
I bought stuff. Well, but Tina didn't know.
Go on.
Tell the judge about the painting.
I took that, too.
And the car.
It was a real class act.
Now, I'm confused, too. Was this a carjacking?
Why don't you tell us about Mr. Garber?
He wouldn't get out of the car. So I hit him with my gun.
He demonstrates.
Wham! Wham!
Serena looks through her notes.
Then I pushed him out.
And what did you do with the weapon?
Huh?
The gun that you used to hit Mr. Garber with. What did you do with it?
I hid it.
Where did you hide it?
At the restaurant.
There's more than one restaurant in the city, Mr. Delgado.
Out back.
My client works in a restaurant down the Lower East Side, Your Honor.
And I'm sure you'll tell the police which one.
Of course.
Okay. Mr. Delgado, do you understand that by allocuting here today, it has the same effect as if you were tried and convicted by a jury?
Connors turns to him.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Sutherland?
In consideration of this allocution, the people have agreed to seek no more than the minimum for murder in the second degree. So be it.
Robbie's led away. Connors approaches Serena as Tina watches.
So another one bites the dust, huh? Hey, let me buy you lunch.
Sorry, I have to be somewhere.
Rain check.
Later, Emmy Rogers shows x-rays.
The skull was fractured here, causing an increase in the cerebral intervascular blood volume. And considering the massive swelling, he was probably unconscious for maybe 1 to 3 minutes before he died. Could it be caused by the butt of a gun? Sure, that'd be consistent. Yeah, I'm talking about right here. If you touch it, it's sort of tender. Wouldn't take much of a blow. Thanks. That's what I do.
Serena's at Jack's office.
Think about it, Jack. In his allocution, Robbie said that he told Garber to get out of the car.
He doesn't, so Robbie hits him.
She sits beside him to his left.
Okay, I'm Robbie. I tell you to leave. What do?
I say no.
So how can I hit you here?
She touches the back right side of his head.
Could have hit Garber when he turned to get out of the car.
Well, then Garber was doing exactly what Robbie wanted. There'd be no need to hit him at all.
You think somebody was in the back seat?
Three guesses who.
Excuse me.
Eddie enters.
Come in, detective. You find the gun?
There's nothing behind that diner, I'm sorry.
You know what, Robbie didn't say the diner, he said the restaurant.
There's a difference?
There is when your daddy owns a shishi place on 9th Avenue in the 40s.
Later.
I'm telling you, you've got the wrong place.
Is there another 4-star restaurant within 10 blocks of here?
We get the stars for what's on the table, not what's in the garbage. I'm going to call the boss.
Why don't you tell Mr. Montoya we have a warrant?
Montoya? Why would he care?
Considering he owns the place.
In his dreams, Montoya mops up the kitchen.
Lenny listens.
Is he here?
The man opens the door.
What did she do?
I didn't say she did anything.
Because with a piece of trash like that, nothing would surprise me.
What does she think? She's fooling with those fancy clothes. You can wrap the trash up in a box of Cartiers, but you can't get rid of the stink.
Are you saying Tina's been in trouble before?
She's been a pain since the day she was born. Last thing I needed is another mouth to feed. A boy can go out and work, but that one, she doesn't know what a hard day's work looks like. She's all about dress up. I don't know why she told you about me. I ain't no kind of character reference for her.
Actually, Mr. Montoya, she tells people you own this place.
Yeah, well, I could have, but I didn't have all the mouths to feed. She brought on nickel one instead of ribbons.
Are you talking about the award from the fashion show?
He shakes his head as he drinks water in the kitchen.
I was mopping up, and that trash comes prancing in here like God's gift and goes, look, shoves that damn thing on my face. I ain't never gonna clean anyone else's kitchen, she says to me, like she's anything better than sewer scum.
Case closed.
Lenny's carefully holding a gun by its trigger guard.
What'd she shoot?
I gotta ask you, Mr. Montoya, was Roberto Delgado with Tina when she came here?
A million guys out there, and she's gotta hang out with Senor Huevo.
You mean Robbie?
Who else? You know why she called him that? Because his brains is like scrambled eggs.
Was Robbie here with your daughter?
And you tell me, where in the hell did a dummy like El Huevo get a fancy car like that?
Serena and Lenny look at each other. Later at the courthouse.
She lied when she told us she didn't see Robbie after he dropped her off at the affair.
It's unlikely that's enough to overturn Robbie Delgado's plea bargain.
This girl is bad news, Jack.
Why don't you get to know her? Unfortunately, I don't think a jury's going to get that chance.
I am telling you, she killed Hal Garber.
She may have been indirectly responsible for his death. That's a far cry from killing him. But considering Robbie confessed...
You don't really believe that.
I know she can tell a hell of a lie. I know she can manipulate the male of the species. Do I know if she can kill? No, I don't.
Then let's find out.
Elizabeth sets down her briefcase.
I don't want to get Freudian on you, but there's a reason a person with low self-esteem goes into fashion.
To cover up psychological scars.
When they look in the mirror, they see a far different picture than the one the world sees. Unconsciously, they think they can cover up childhood traumas with fancy clothes.
Would a father calling a daughter trash qualify as a trauma?
What does any young girl want? Daddy's approval. Usually when she doesn't get it, she'll try harder in school or sports.
And if she still fails, if she can't become what Daddy wants, then at least she can look the way he wants.
And if that doesn't work, she raises the stakes. She designs her own clothes, drives an expensive car.
Could she kill?
Some textbooks say that people will go to any extent to improve their self-image. But you know me well enough to know I'm not going to diagnose anyone without observing them first.
Fine, what are you doing tomorrow morning?
Jack smiles, later in the conference room.
Am I missing something here? I read the file. Someone already confessed to killing Mr. Garber.
We think he was lying to protect your client.
And all this time, I thought I could read English. Silly me. I actually assumed Mr. Delgado's deal was predicated upon Tina not being charged.
The deal was predicated upon Mr. Delgado telling the truth, and you lied to us, Ms. Montoya. You told us that Robbie dropped you off at the fashion show and you didn't see him again for the rest of the night.
Why? Because some old drunk said so?
If that old man happens to be your father, yeah.
Yeah, I may have grown up in his house, but he's not my father.
Funny, that's what he said about you.
Tina shakes her head and Elizabeth watches her.
That man is dirt. That man is a liar, and he'll say anything to hurt me. I want to go.
We know that Robbie could not have been behind the wheel and hit Mr. Garber at the same time.
Well, argue with him, not us.
Tina and her attorney leave. Jack looks at Elizabeth.
There's no way I can know for sure.
If you had to guess.
Well, it's obvious that she has been scarred by her upbringing.
Could she kill?
I think she could.
In Arthur's office.
John McEnroe was the fastest tennis player I ever saw, but he couldn't return his own serve.
Meaning?
He's right. You can't play both sides.
So we're supposed to just let her walk on murder?
Well, right now, I'd be more concerned in keeping this Delgado fella from joining her on that walk.
But he's already confessed.
And considering that you've proven that someone else actually whacked Garber, any lawyer worth his salt is going to petition the court to reduce his sentence.
Fortunately, Mr. Delgado's counsel is Dean. What are you offering Connors?
Well, Connors may choose to ignore the canons on exculpatory evidence, but we don't have that luxury.
He walks away, and Jack stares deep in thought. Office of Dean Connors, 162 Center Street.
Remind me, what is it they say about sleeping dogs?
I do what the canons require, Dean. I find exculpatory evidence, I turn it over to you.
And I appreciate it. But my representation of Mr. Delgado ended when they turned the key.
It doesn't bother you that he may not have killed Garber?
You're new at this, aren't you? Why don't she get a few more miles on her, right, Jack? The big picture, Miss Sutherland, was justice done. Okay, maybe not 100%, but a couple of battle axes like me and Jack will settle for 50% any day of the week, twice on Sundays. Robbie may not have swung the hammer, but he sure as hell held the nail. Tell her, Jack.
What, that you're a disgrace?
Oh, come on, that kid's brains are so scrambled, he doesn't even know the difference.
That's why you should. All this time, I thought you were just lazy.
What's the point, Jack? Let's go.
Jack stares at him as Serena goes to the door. Outside.
Mr. Egg?
And scrambled brains. That's what Tina's father said she called him.
Could be a coincidence.
Maybe, but Connors was dancing as fast as he could at the allocution. Tina's big brown eyes, a couple of well-placed tears. I saw what she tried to do to you, Jack. Connors didn't have a hope in hell with her.
Why don't you invite everyone to a sit-down?
Later in the conference room.
You don't give up, do you, Jack?
My fatal flaw.
I'm not on the clock anymore. I shouldn't even be here.
To be honest, you're not here as an attorney.
Then I've got a desk full of work.
You're here as a defendant. Conspiracy to cover up a felony.
You've got to be kidding.
He sits.
I'm going to have to ask you a question, Robbie. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. Who told you to lie in court?
Robbie frowns. He looks at Tina and she subtly shakes her head. Serena looks at her.
I didn't lie.
Connors stands.
You happy?
Sit.
He sits.
We know you didn't kill Mr. Garber. Now that means that you lied at your allocution. What I want to know is, who told you to? Mr. Connors or Tina?
You don't have to say anything, Robbie.
Tina can be charged with subornation of perjury.
Tina never told me to do anything wrong.
No.
He told me what to say.
He has no idea what he's saying right now.
Tina, you didn't do anything wrong. My lawyer, he told me to say that I did it by myself.
Stupid.
Robbie looks at Tina in disbelief, and Connors stares at her.
The way I see it, Dean, you have two choices. You can keep your mouth shut.
Dean.
And go to prison. Or you can tell us all about it and just lose your license to practice law.
He's bluffing. He has no proof. We'll get through this, sweetie.
Of course we will. She's good, isn't she, Jack? 30 years I've been at this. 30 years trying to knock 6 months to a year off the sentence of some piece of dirt when all is said and done has been a rotten hell anyway. That's some way to measure your life, isn't it? Counting the time that murderers aren't in prison. I have measured out my life with coffee spoons. And you know what it all adds up to? A couple of bucks here and there. A week in Miami Beach, twice a year.
Jack watches him.
What about you, Jack? Who are you? I do what my job requires. Oh, that's not enough for me.
Connors looks at Tina, who gently shakes her head.
Just once in my sorry life, I dared to eat the peach.
He lowers his eyes and shakes his head. A tear rolls down Tina's cheek. Later with Arthur.
Robbie's legal aid attorney wants to renegotiate his deal.
And?
8 1/3 to 25 seems appropriate.
Tina, on the other hand, has decided to roll the dice.
Yeah, she's entitled to her day in court.
All I can say is we better pay extra attention to the men we pick for the jury.
Not all men are like Dean Connors, Serena.
She drops something and both men bend over to retrieve it. They look at each other and she smiles.